Thank you for spending part of your day with the Bryant Park Project from NPR News. I'm Allison Stewart.
Is there a better way to start a segment than with clap your hands, say yeah? I would say no. I'm Luke Burbank. Well, in the immortal words of that poet, that legend, Sting, every mouse you click, every story you pick, every box you tick, every link you flick. That kind of works, the last one.
I'm still having sex with Trudy.
The Bryant Park Project. Yeah, exactly. The entirety of this show, he's tantrically loving his lady.
God's sake.
The Bryant Park will be watching and compiling and bringing you the results. Beyond the fields of gold lies
oh
the
my
most.
God.
Every day, Dan Pashman takes it upon himself to one-up the most awesome intro in the show. And I think that tops the dandruff of Edward R. Murrow's eyebrows.
It was the flakes of dead skin cells, but yeah. Yes, thank you.
Oh, stop!
All right. This is the most, and trying to get it together from Washington, D.C., trying to help us kind of get our heads together as Corva Coleman. You've got something about Paddington Bear?
Well, you blew it. I was going to do this great big build-up.
Oh, no, that was
okay. I'll read it anyway, and then you have to guess the answer, okay?
Okay. Where is it from?
It's from the BBC, okay. BBC.com. Okay. According to a new book, it's coming out next summer, British police have detained an illegal immigrant into London for questioning. He apparently got aboard a ship leaving Peru, and he smuggled himself into Britain without authorities noticing him. He has no papers to confirm his identity. This possible terrorism suspect is none other than Paddington Bear.
Dun, dun, dun. I did not see that coming.
No, Corva, you did not.
I am so sorry I stole the thunder from that. Who decided this, though?
Michael Bond, the author. He says the world has changed ever since he started writing about Paddington, 50 years ago? But Paddington is still the same. He still loves marmalade.
No,
they
love
just want to frisk him and maybe send him somewhere for questioning.
No marmalading.
That sounds really wrong. We're stopping right there.
drowning for Paddington
speak
Bear.
Speak about Paddington like that. Okay, I think making her most debut as our executive producer...
Wow.
Sharon Hoffman from the control.
Sharon!
Yay, everybody. I made a soft launch on Thanksgiving, but here I am in the big time with an article from the Chicago Tribune. It's called NASA to Probe Self for UFO Data. It turns out that Roswell is so yesterday. And the hotspot of UFO controversy these days is Kecksburg, Pennsylvania, where there's a guy named Bill Buellbusch who says... He knows he saw it. It was glowy. It smelled like eggs. It was shaped like a big acorn about the size of a VW. And he has been fighting for a long time to get NASA to acknowledge that they carted it away in a truck. Well, with the aid of a freelance journalist who got some financial support from the Sci-Fi Channel.
Sorry.
No, it's very complex, but they launched a Freedom of Information Act request for records related to the Kecksburg sighting, and they won. And so this past week, a team of them received the first batch of documents on the Kecksburg thing, whatever it was. They're looking into it, but meanwhile, there's all this controversy going on in Kecksburg. There's the old fire chief who... says he didn't see it at the time and he quit the fire department after the town got really kind of into it. Meanwhile, a lot of people in the town said, why fight the mojo? We're going to, you know, they set up the Kecksburg UFO store in the basement of the EMS headquarters, and they say they've made about $10,000 so far on t-shirts.
Wow. Wow.
I think this is a hoax by the men in black.
Meanwhile, how's launching the shuttle on time coming, NASA?
Right. Yeah.
We need more time for Kecksburg. All right, Matthew Martinez.
I have got the most emailed at BBC. It's this great story about this long-eared mammal. It's called a jerboa. It's a mouse rabbit. Yeah, I know. It's the coolest thing. And anyway, it's this rare creature, never been caught on film before. In the Gobi Desert, some scientists at the Zoological Society of London caught it on tape. And if you go to BBC.com, you can see it hopping around. It's just the cutest little thing. It lives on insects.
I can hear the voice
and
of it. In the rare Gobi Desert, the much-seen jerboa.
Relative to the jackalope.
It kind of looks like a gremlin.
It kind of looks like a jackalope, you know? It really does. Yes. It's the cutest darn thing. You have to go to BBC.com. It's .co.uk. I'm sorry, they don't have the .coms there. So, number one, emailed at BBC News.
Thank you, Matthew.
You're welcome.
All right, Danimal.
Hey, Damn guys, I got the most emailed here from Yahoo News, and it's likely to be of interest to all you scotch drinkers out there.
I love scotch. I love scotch. Scotchy, scotch, scotch. Here it goes down, down into my belly.
I can't believe you guys taped my pre-show ritual.
You're busted, Luke.
Anchorman never gets old.
An 81-year-old bottle of scotch has sold for $54,000. It was at a Christie's sale of wines and spirits over the weekend. It was New York's first liquor auction since Prohibition. There was one huge collection of 729 bottles of whiskey that sold for $102,000. This is a bottle of Macallan, bottled in Scotland in 1926. And I got some Macallan 15-year as
good.
A gift.
Yeah.
And I'm not even the most experienced scotch drinker by any stretch, and I could taste the difference in 15-year, but I don't know if there's a cost-benefit thing that takes place once you've spent $54,000.
And I guess
do you really drink it?
Yeah, is it an investment or a drink, I wonder?
That's another good question.
Over my lifetime, I'll probably spend $54,000 on scotch. I mean, I think that's a safe bet.
Right.
Let's see. Angela Ellis, what have you brought for us?
I have brought you a most from The Guardian, Unlimited, online, and there is apparently a new alternative to mulled wine for the holiday season for Londoners. If they want, they can go to a very swank nightclub called Movida, I think it's called, and get a drink, a new Christmas cocktail. It's got cognac, crystal, 24-karat edible gold leaf flakes in it, and at the bottom there is an 11-karat white diamond ring. And it can be yours, or yours, maybe, I don't know, Luke, it's something for a Christmas gift.
The lady in my life?
Exactly.
Ladies?
For about $70,000, that one cocktail.
Somebody cited this on this very show the other day. The comedian David Cross says something about eating gold when you put it in these fancy things. Like, is there a bigger screw you to the developing world? We're eating gold.
Yeah, but it doesn't aid in digestion.
Yeah.
My most emailed is the most emailed story from the New York Times. The 53 places you gotta go in 2008. Among them, Iran. They put in there the first line, they say, what access of evil? Nice. They also talk about a place called Sylt, I've never heard of. You lived in Europe, Angela, in Germany. It's the nickname is the Hamptons of Germany.
Missed that one.
I don't want to go to the Hamptons of the United States.
Yeah, right.
I don't know about the Hamptons,
Hamptons
of
Jersey. Hamptons, so.
Although my favorite, Puerto Vallarta, because I watched a lot of Love Boat. I know that Isaac wouldn't steer me wrong. Mazatlan, Malawi, Blame Madonna, goes on and on. Well, that's exactly what the article says anyway. Easter Island, so you can check that at the New York Times if you are planning a trip for 08.
We'll try to link to that on the old blog.
We will.
NPR.org/Bryant Park. That does it for this edition of The Most. Thank you for listening to it, and thank you, Sting, for your magic.